For praying tonight. Let's open our Bibles to Deuteronomy 27 this evening. Deuteronomy 27. Now I'll read verses 1 through 8. And then offer an evening prayer. Beginning in verse 1, Israel to build an altar. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I commanded you this day. And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God, and here's a key word, giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and whitewash them with lime. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law, when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God, here it is again, giveth thee, a land that flows with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be, when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones which I command thee this day to in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt whitewash them with lime. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. And thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shall eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this night when we can pray for elected officials. We can pray about schools. We can pray for those who are ill. We can pray for Sunday services, pray for the next three Sundays beyond that as we celebrate 20 years of church history being made here at Friendly. Pray for guests that come into our services. Pray for our members. Just lots going on all around us to lift up our hearts before you. Pray for Israel tonight, the text that I'm reading tonight. You gave them the land, Lord. You promised them the land. They're defending it. Help Israel tonight, Lord. It's been an active several days and almost a year since October 7, 2023, when the war was started by Hamas's invasion. We pray that you would bless us as we gather in this place tonight, Lord, that we would know your voice, hear your voice, feel the presence of your Spirit, honor your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father of lights. There's no variation. There's no shadow. We confess you alone not only gave Israel the land, you're the giver of every good and perfect gift. Comes from heaven above. And you have given not only them so many things, you have given us so many things, richly supplying us with things to enjoy, and this service is one of them. And so we commit the balance of it to you and say, we love you, Lord. Speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy 27. This is Moses' swan song. He is nearing the end of his life. He's 120 years old, and he has some things to say to the nation before they enter over the River Jordan. He is going to be called home to the Lord before they cross over. These are some of his final instructions. And the land that God has given them isn't much, isn't big. When I was in Israel, they said it's about the size of New Jersey. It's not that far north, not that far south, not that far east, not that far west. Fairly small, but for being such a tiny country, it has a way of making the news cycle almost every day, don't you think? Israel is front page headlines in today's newspapers across the land. It's as though the eyes of the world are always drawn to Israel to see what it is that is going over in that tiny little country. If I had a big, vast world map in front of me, I could almost take my pinky and put it over the land of Israel. But it's always has the attention of the world. There are more archaeological digs going on in one country more than any other country. Guess which country that is? It is the land of Israel. It's tiny, but there's archaeological digs going on everywhere. I saw at the Pool of Bethsaida, I saw archaeological digs and stood there and watched them do that. Went down in the old city of David and saw some things going on. There are digs going on everywhere as they uncover coins, uncover rings, uncover just all kinds of things that are uncovered. If you look at the most modern technology, usually there's an Israel connection. If you look at some of the greatest medicine known to mankind, somehow there's going to be a connection to the nation of Israel. If you look at some of the best agricultural practices going on in the world, there usually is a connection to Israel. They did some things yesterday that I don't know have ever been done ever in ancient or modern warfare. Somehow Hezbollah ordered a bunch of pagers. They said, we're getting off our phones, we're going to pagers. Somehow Israel was able to plant something inside of those pagers. No citizens taken, no civilians taken. 2,700 Hezbollah soldiers injured yesterday by something that's going to make a move. It is the oddest thing I've ever seen. They got in the production chain of that and got that done somehow. And today it was radio. Yesterday it was pagers. Today it's radios. Israel is doing something that the whole world, American technology, is looking up and saying, what are they doing over there? This is incredible what they are doing. Trying to fight to the north, Hezbollah. Trying to fight to the south, Hamas. Or over to the down to the south is Hamas. It is strange. There is this sense that Satan hates Israel. And I think that if you were to boil this down, why is Israel always in the news? Why is Israel always in a stir? Why are all eyes on Israel? Satan hates Israel. But I'll tell you the other side of the coin, God loves Israel. And there is this cosmic battle that goes on over that nation since the nation was founded. And what we're seeing is the fulfillment of a promise in these pages, in this chapter. It's the fulfillment of a promise given like 700 years prior to this to an old man and an old woman, Abraham and Sarah, childless, saying, you're going to have a child. And we're seeing that promise still come into play, still coming to pass in the pages that are before us tonight. And I read the word give, give, give three times. I said, pay attention to this word give. It's when you look at the land of Israel, it's not as though they went in as some ferocious force doing something that was militarily sophisticated to accomplish this task. God gave them this land. It is the only piece of real estate on earth that we have that said, I'm going to establish that land. That is going to be my land. That city is going to be my city. Those people are going to be my people. The people that bless that land, I will bless. The people that curse that land, I will curse. I think it still stands. And God gave the promised land as a gift. As in my prayer I said, all good gifts come from the Father of lights in heaven above to us. And you being here tonight is, I never take it for granted that anyone would come on a Wednesday night. You are a gift. And I thank the Lord that you're here to worship the Lord tonight in the middle of your week. What a blessing this is. I want you to notice little jet tour of each one of these chapters. I can't spend an eternity on this, but a chapter a Wednesday night, I want you to see something about altars. And then I want you to see something about an allegiance. And then I want you to see something about the word amen. They end, they say these little phrases of the law, and then the people, the Levite reads it, and then they go, amen. And then he reads another one. They go, amen. He reads another one. They go, amen. I mean, this is a shouting time on the other side of Jordan tonight in chapter 27. So let's look at altars and allegiance and the word amen in chapter 27. First, altars. I read 1 through 8, and that's what it is. He says, I want you to go across, and the first thing I want you to do is I want you to set up these stones, stack these stones. I don't want any iron on these stones. I don't want you guys to do something that's going to be some kind of a stonemason, really genius looking work here. I just want you to take these stones. I want you to whitewash them with lime. I want them to glow when the sun shines. I want this altar to pop out there in that sunshine against everything that's going to backdrop it. I want it to be something that no one can miss. And do you know what the most visible color in the world is? It is the color of no color. It is white. If you were to, they say, I have not done the science on this, if you were to purchase a car, what's the safest color of automobile to drive? It is white. What is the most dangerous? It's like 12% higher, more likely to have an accident than any other color. It is black. And black is a combination of all of the colors. And in a low light situation, in a stormy situation, in most situations, maybe you could say in all situations, white is the one that shows up the best. When you go into the Washington, I've never been to the great Washington monuments and to see D.C., see the White House, all of those monuments, the Washington Monument and Lincoln over there sitting ensconced on his chair, and the White House on the lawn is all white. And they say if you're ever there on a cloudy day, it just doesn't do it justice. Get it on a sunny day, and it is going to be wowzers. It is going to be spectacular to see those white monuments shining across that beautiful landscape. We call it it is a great throne. What color is the great throne? It is the great white throne. It is white. I can imagine people who are unbelievers, people who are scoundrels, people who are sinners, standing in a line that's 50 miles long, and they see something up ahead of them. They can't miss it, and they're going step by step closer because they're going to stand before the great judge of heaven, Jesus Christ, seated on their throne, and they're going to stand before the great white throne that Christ will sit on. It is going to be something that you can't miss. You'll see it for miles and miles away. These white stones would be set in place once they crossed into the promised land. First order of business, make an altar. What color is it to be? White. I'm going to make it whiter. It's going to be whitewashed with lime. It's going to be engraved with the law. And that engraving is just going to make that lettering stand out all the more easier to read. No one's going to be able to miss it. You won't be confused. It is going to be as easy to read, easy on the eyes, easy to comprehend as anything humanly possible. I have in my Bible white pages with a black font that makes it as easy to read as is humanly possible. The altars would be whitewashed with lime, making the engraving easy to read. No tool is to be used. Don't know the reason for that, other than in my mind, no man gets any glory. All the glory for this altar is to crossing that river successfully, entering into that land. They're going to have to fight and struggle. Of course, we'll get into the story of Joshua and all of that. But this land is a gift to the children of Israel and continues to be such today. The law will be plainly written. He says in verse 8, thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. You say, there's much more than 10 commandments. How much law can you write on this? I would suspect they would boil it down to an economy words of the Ten Commandments. And that would be the law. Because if you actually understand the Ten Commandments, All of the law can be summarized in those 10. Those 10 words cover every base. Those 10 words don't leave one stone unturned. And are an umbrella, in effect, of all the laws. And the rest of the laws are mere commentary on those 10 words. So the first word I want you to see is altar. The second word I want you to see is allegiance. It's in verses 9 and 10. And Moses and the priests and the Levites spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed, hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. When I read that, I was shocked. I said, wow, what a phrase. This day you've become the people of the Lord thy God. This makes this Founders Day. This makes this a special day. On October 13th, the year of our Lord, 2024 AD, we'll be celebrating Founders Day, the day that this church became a church 20 years ago to the day. And it's as though in verse number 9, this is their Founders Day. This is their high day of celebration. You say, haven't they been the children of Israel all this time? Yes. But he is renewing the covenant. He is repeating the promises. They've almost got their toe in the water. This is when the promise becomes full-orbed, full-fledged, full-blown. Here we go. It's like the kingdom of God. Aren't we in the kingdom of God? Yes. Jesus is on his throne. Of course he is. If he's not on his throne, who's on the throne? Jesus is on his throne. But there's going to be a sense where the kingdom is going to be upon his second coming. There's going to be this full-blown, unadulterated, wall-to-wall kingdom like we've never seen kingdom before. And they're having this kind of day here in Deuteronomy 27 and verse number 9 and 10. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and you will do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Boy, is that ever instructive words there. You're going to obey it. You're going to do it. You're going to complete it. You're going to cross every T, dot every I, that I allegiance in verses 9 and 10. This covenant is renewed. And the covenant isn't just for Abraham and for Sarah. The covenant is for, you know, Isaac and Jacob and all their posterity. The covenant, I think, is even for future generations. That God would bless these people in a spectacular way. The generations that would follow them and in Deuteronomy 27. God, when he makes a promise, God keeps his promise. I said on Sunday morning, I preached on Psalm 121. You know, he'll catch you when you fall. He's going to watch over you day and night. He's not butterfingers. He's not going to let you slip. He's going to keep a hold of you. And when he makes a promise, he keeps it. And in this chapter tonight, he's saying, I made a promise hundreds of years ago. Guess what? I'm keeping it. And we're on the verge of seeing that promise, in fact, come into play. God said, I'll bless those who bless Israel. God said, I'll curse those who curse Israel. Believing Jews, they are complete Jews. I know people of Jewish heritage who have come to faith in Christ. They're children of Abraham once. Children of Abraham twice. They're twice born sons of Abraham, completed Jew, received Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. We as Gentiles, we are not biological Jews, but we are grafted in, we are adopted in, we're brought into the family. Their God is our God. They call him Father, we call him Father. They call Jesus Savior, we call Jesus Savior. So that even Gentiles are part of this blessing of Israel. And the proof of the allegiance part of it is obey in 10. The allegiance part of it is do in verse 10. The allegiance part of it is I'm commanding you this day. That is the allegiance part that I want you to see tonight. And so the proof of being part of Israel is made clear. When he says something, do it. When he commands something, obey it. and keep the word. Jesus says, if you don't keep my commandments, you have no part of me. And do as I say, as God directs in his word, either by the prophets or by the apostles or by Christ. Catch those principles. There are principles to be caught in Moses' writings. Catch those principles. Keep those principles. Do those principles as best as you can. If God, we call him God. What does it mean to be God? He is sovereign. What does it mean to be sovereign? He is king. He is royalty. What if he's king, what are we? We are subjects of the king. And we obey him and do his wishes and his will as being part of his kingdom. So that Israel was going to an indecent society, they were going to bring decency. Israel was going into darkness, a dark culture, they're going to bring light. Israel was going into a very immoral, chaotic, frenetic society. They were going to bring morality from God into this. They were going to bring kindness and decency and light into this. People say, well, it wasn't very decent for them to, you know, do that to the pagers and do that to their walkie-talkie. That's not very decent. There are Muslims living Palestinians living at peace in the promised land. You say, where is that going on? They are living within the boundaries of Israel. I would drive by Muslim communities. They fight for the IDF. They vote. They live. They eat. They drink. They breathe. They go get hospital. They're living inside under Israeli care. It is possible for Palestinians to live at peace if and they want to keep saying there's a two-state solution. We know where that leads. It leads to what we're dealing with today. And if Israel lays down their weapons, they are going to be slaughtered. If the Palestinians lay down their weapons, peace would come instantly. Last Sunday, the Houthis, is that the way you say it, out of Yemen, shot some sort of a sonic speed missile. It traveled 1,200 miles toward Tel Aviv. How long did it take it to go 1,200 miles? Less than 12 minutes. A supersonic missile. It fortunately was intercepted and guided in a different direction, landed in a field, didn't do any, I think some a few there was like 9 injuries or something, but these people want to destroy Israel. And they are using supersonic firing in missiles that cover 1,200 miles, Yemen, of all places, in 12 minutes to get the job done. He is saying here, I want you to come in and you're going into a very dark culture. I want you to introduce altars and I want you to introduce an allegiance to God of heaven. How about that? Forget Baal and forget all of these other idolatrous gods. You're going to introduce monotheism in the face of polytheism. It's going to be great. I'm going to give you this land. The last thing we see is beyond allegiance and beyond altars is amen. Verses 11 through 26. Moses says, okay, I want you to line up the 12 tribes. I want 6 of them to be on Mount Gerizim. That's in, I think, 12. I want 6 of them to be on Mount Ebal. That, I think, is in verse 13. Mount Ebal, they're going to have Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan. 6 tribes on Mount Gerizim, 6 tribes on Mount Ebal. This is the veritable very heart and very center of the land. It is like this. The geographical center of the promised land, a natural amphitheater. We're going to have the party of parties. It is going to be something very special. We're going to reiterate the law. We're going to tell the land how to live. The Levites are going to read it, and they're going to read it with a loud voice. They're not going to have a microphone like I've got on, but this amphitheater in between these two mountains, every syllable is going to be heard. Every sentence will be comprehensible. You won't need a microphone. You won't need speakers. You won't need Hugh. You won't need me to do this. We got this thing covered. Levites are going to cover this thing, and they are going to read. And every principle they read, I want you to follow it with, amen. If you read on in 14, the Levites shall speak, say to the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that makes any graven or molten image, an abomination. Sounds like the Ten Commandments, doesn't it? Abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of craftsmen, puts it in a secret place, and all of the people shall answer and say, amen. And he does that over and over in all of these verses. 16, cursed be he that treats his father or mother ill, and all the people shall say in 16, amen. 17, cursed be he that removes his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, amen. You talk about a shouting time in heaven. Now, this is a shouting time. I could read this whole thing. They go through all of these principles. And the Levites, it's like this anthem back and forth. You see this in congregations sometimes, especially in people of color. I have preached before some folks of color, and I can't hardly get in a word edgewise. I start getting confused. I start forgetting what point I'm on. They are talking to me as much as I'm talking to them. That is what's going on here in Deuteronomy 27. The Levites are going, the people are going, the Levites are going, the people are going, they're reading and they're going, amen. There are hankies waving, they're having a great time out there in the centerpiece of the promised land. They're putting curses on idolatry, curses on thieves, curses on cruelty to the blind, curses on injustice, curses on immorality, violence, bribes. How about this? Bestiality and incest. You know, don't have anything to do with dad's wife. Don't have anything to do with your sister. Don't have anything to do with your mother. Don't have anything to do with the animals of the field. Sexually be clean, morally be clean, spiritually be clean. Do everything right. Button it up. And they're all saying, amen, 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 amen. And just giving the word amen means, so be it. May it be so. And I hear amens here as I'm preaching on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. It is not unusual for someone to say, amen. And I may not be able to identify who said that, but I'll continue to go on. With an amen comes, it's not only a sign of blessing, it is a sign of responsibility. For if you say amen to something, it means you're agreeing with it. And it means, may it be so, but it also means, I'm living that way. That's the way that I live. That's my wheelhouse. That's my cup of tea. That is my life. If you say do it, I do it. If you say don't do it, I don't do it. Do you think there might be some collateral value for that in the modern church today? You say, why is abortion such a mess in our nation? What's Kansas doing? What's Ohio doing? What's Missouri about to do? Why is the Democratic Convention so eaten up with, it's like, what is your policy? What's your plan? Abortion. We need some principles of life and amens that go with it. And we need for people to go in, and I'm not ashamed, go into the voting booth, mark no on Amendment 3, because that is an amen. And he says, this is the way we are to live. And I'll tell you who to lay the problems of the nation. Now, I'm not in my notes, so forgive me. The church, the body of Christ. There are communions ordaining homosexuals, marrying homosexuals that have abortion in their codified in their doctrinal statement. And not enough that say no. And not enough pastors willing to get up and say enough. And not enough legislators like Brian Seitz, who say, not on my watch. We need amens. We need to know the difference between right and wrong. And before they step into the Jordan River and cross it, this is his swan song. He's saying, let's go over this one more time to make sure that no one misunderstands. There is right and there is wrong, and let's do this right. And everybody would say, amen. Let's pray together. Father, time is short for Moses. You know, time is short for all of us. There are things that we need to do in our life. Now, Deuteronomy 27, written so long ago, so far away, people would say it has no collateral value. There is nothing in that whatsoever that would be even remarkably close to something I need to think about or hear. I say not so fast. There are principles there. There are good things there for all the world to hear that need to be shouted from the rooftop. If someone is here tonight that has never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, may tonight be a night of salvation. If someone tonight needs prayer at the altar with pastor, alone with someone, may they come. Those who need salvation, come. Those who need prayer, come. Father, tonight, for a church, if anyone needs a church home, we're about to celebrate 20 years of being a church. They could have their name put on the roll tonight. Lord, may they come and be a part of this young church, but vibrant church. May they come tonight as we sing our closing song. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the writings of Moses. We're about to wrap them up, and it's been a blessing to enjoy them. Thank you for the song we're singing tonight as we end our service. Lord, speak to hearts as we sing. In Jesus' name, amen.